السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله وكفى والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا المصطفى صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. واعلموا أن فيكم رسول الله لو يطيعكم في كثير من الأمر لعنتم ولكن الله حبب إليكم الإيمان وزينه في قلوبكم وكره إليكم الكفر والفسوق والعصيان أولئك هم الراشدون. صدق الله العظيم. علماء الكرام, most respected brothers and also our sisters who listen over the receivers, we are discussing Surah Wadduha. Over the past few weeks we have been doing the tafsir of Surah Wadduha. However, today, because we have many visitors to our city and they have not followed what we have been discussing, so this ayat comes to mind, which I will be discussing today, inshallah. Inshallah, we will continue with the tafsir of Surah Wadduha in future if Allah Ta'ala gives life and the opportunity to do so. In the verse before this verse which I recited, there is an incident which had taken place and that verse was revealed. That if somebody comes to you and the person is wicked or the person is a transgressor, is a sinner, and he comes to you with some news, some report, I'm just giving you the explanation, then don't just accept it. Verify it, ascertain the truth. Otherwise it could lead to serious problems. Now that is not the translation of the ayat, I'm just giving you a brief explanation. But I'm not discussing that. After that, Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala says, وَعَلَمُوا أَنَّ فِيكُمْ رَسُولَ اللَّهِ. Know fully well, understand that amongst you is the Rasul of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. Now the Sahaba Ikram radiallahu anhu majma'in are told that this is a great gift of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala to you, that amongst you is the Rasul of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. They were very, very fortunate. Imagine the Rasul of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, Khatamun Nabiyyin, Rahmatul Lil Alameen, Jameelo mein Ajmal, Kamilo mein Akmal, Sharifo mein Ashraf, Tajdar-e Madina Sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is amongst them. Any dispute, any problem, anything, they don't have to go anywhere. They don't have to worry about too much of differences of opinion. They go directly to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam gives them a solution to their problem. With regards to the believers also, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala has mentioned the same thing. لَقَدْ مَنَّ اللَّهُ عَلَى الْمُؤْمِنِينَ إِذْ بَعَثَ فِيهِمْ رَسُولًا مِّنْ أَنفُسِهِمْ. So in that ayat also Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala says it's a great favor upon the believers that Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala sent to them a messenger from amongst them. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is amongst them. Allah ta'ala says that this is a great favor of Allah ta'ala, it's a great blessing of Allah ta'ala, and you should know fully well that the messenger of Allah ta'ala is amongst you. That means he who is receiving wahi directly from Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, he is amongst you. وَعَلَمُوا أَنَّ فِيكُمْ رَسُولَ اللَّهِ. Now if this Nabi of Allah Ta'ala, he had to obey you in many of your affairs and matters, then it will cause you great difficulty and harm. Again, I'm giving an explanation. That if this Rasul of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, who was supposed to be guiding you, Now if he has to follow you and obey you in all the advices and mashwara that you give, or in all the opinions that you hold and have, even in worldly matters, then it will cause you a great amount of injury and pain and difficulty and hardship. It would have thrown you into misfortune. Although in certain matters of dunya, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam had told them that you make amal according to your experience. There was great wisdom in that. Otherwise people would have been asking for hadith sharif. When a doctor says take this medication 3 times a day, then they would have said, where is the hadith sharif to prove that this medicine must be taken 3 times a day? And if another doctor said take the same thing 5 times a day, or take these tablets 3 in the morning, 3 in the evening, then they would have said, first produce one hadith sharif, that we must take this in exactly this manner. It just reminds me that one day a person phoned and he said, Maulana, my iman is shaken. I said, how is your iman shaken? He said, please save me. I said, I can't save you. If Allah Ta'ala saves you, alhamdulillah, but I can only assist and help you. He says, no, I read in the Quran Sharif that honey is shifa. Fihi shifa'ul linnas. In honey there's shifa. I have been taking honey for a considerable period of time for a certain sickness and illness of mine, but unfortunately I did not get cure from that illness. So my iman is shaken in this verse of the Quran Sharif that in honey there is cure. Now you can see how shaitan can whisper into the hearts, and how he can mislead, and how he can snatch away iman of even people who are learned. So Allah Ta'ala put into my mind, and I just told him, I said, look, does it state in the Quran Sharif that for your particular sickness, the sickness with which you are suffering from, now for that sickness and illness, you must take exactly 1 teaspoon in the morning, 1 teaspoon in the evening? Does it state there how much you must take? How must you take it? Does it state in the Quran Sharif or the Hadith Sharif exactly how much and must you take for that illness of yours? Whether you must take it in hot water, lukewarm water, must you just take it raw, must you dilute it? Now there are so many different things. Now you go to the Hakim and he will check you up and he will see what is your sickness. After he has diagnosed, then he will say, now you take so much of honey in the morning, in the evening, and you take it in this way, that way. Then if it is exactly as Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala wills, and the quantity is right and everything is right, then you will get cured. So what Allah Ta'ala has mentioned is correct, but now it is a duty of the Hakims and the doctors and the people in medical practices to do some research on it and find the cure for that illness which you are suffering from, that how much of honey must be taken. Nevertheless, what I was discussing, that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, the sahabas are told that if he had to follow you and obey you in all your opinions, then you would have been finding yourself in difficulties. In other words, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, whatever he said, it was for the goodness of the people of mankind in general. We all have opinions. All the time we have got opinions. And at present, there is no shortage of opinions. Everyone has got an opinion. Everyone who studies or reads a few books has got an opinion. Now if Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam or the deen had to be in accordance with our opinions, then we ourselves would have found ourselves in great difficulty. Just take one issue only, and that is the intermingling of sexes at our fairs and at our parties and at our functions and at our dinners and all those kind of things where strangers are mixing. My wife is introduced to you, and your wife is introduced to me, and friends are introduced to each other's wives, and then the shaking of hands, and then there is socializing. Now if we say that in our opinion this is a very good thing, because at least we are bringing unity in the ummah, it is a way of bringing unity in the ummah, we say that it is increasing brotherhood and sisterhood, because you are getting more opportunities now to meet. Now we can understand that what that opinion will lead to. We know exactly what it has already done. We know exactly what it has already done in the Western world. Nobody is safe. He does not know whether it is his child or it is his friend's child. And in our society also there's an increase of these type of incidents. There is a terrible increase. We who are dealing with cases, we know what is happening. So now Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, whatever he will say will be with the wahi of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, and there will be nothing but goodness in that. So Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala says that if he had to obey you in many of your matters, then it would have caused you hurt, injury, pain, it would have caused you difficulty. So therefore Nabi alayhi salatu, the sahaba are told that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, if you have to give mashwara when he is seeking your mashwara, then you, there's nothing wrong, you give. But after that, whatever decision he has made, you must believe that that is the best. لَوْ يُطْوِيُوكُمْ فِي كَثِيرٍ مِّنَ الْأَمْرِ لَعَنِدْتُمْ. Then immediately Allah Ta'ala says, وَلَكِنَّ اللَّهَ حَبَّبَ إِلَيْكُمُ الْإِيمَانِ وَزَيَّنَهُ فِي قُلُوبِكُمْ وَكَرَّهَ إِلَيْكُمُ الْكُفْرَ وَالْفُسُوقَ وَالْعِصْيَانِ وَلَكِنَّ اللَّهَ حَبَّبَ إِلَيْكُمُ الْإِيمَانِ. Allah Ta'ala has put the muhabbat of faith and iman into your hearts. Allah Ta'ala is the one who put that muhabbat of iman into your hearts. He made it mahbub for you. He made it your beloved. And Allah Ta'ala also beautified it in your hearts. Allah Ta'ala put the beauty of that iman in your hearts. Tumhare liye iman e kamil Allah Ta'ala ne mehboob bana diya. In Bayan al-Quran it says, tumhare liye iman e kamil Allah Ta'ala ne mehboob bana diya. Aur uski tahseel tumhare liye marghoob bana di. Iman e kamil Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala made beloved for you in your hearts. And to seek it, Allah Ta'ala made it marghoob, something that you really desire, because He beautified it. Now these sahabas, that is what really made them sacrifice their lives for the sake of iman and for the sake of this deen of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, because they truly understood the beauty of Islam. At present we are looking at Islam in the light of modern day technology, modern day science and modern day environment. Now there's absolutely nothing wrong, in fact it is necessary that Muslims also must become the best of all scientists. Technology must, they must also be advancing in technology and everything else. There's nothing wrong with that. But they must not lose sight of the beauty of Islam and Iman. Everything must look beautiful. Any teaching of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, irrespective of what our opinion is, there must be a beauty in the teaching of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. We must look at everything in the light of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam's teachings. So Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala has done this, that He has put the love of iman into your hearts, and He has beautified it, and He has put the hatred of kufr, of major sins, minor sins, all kinds of disobedience of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, whatever it may be, of whichever category it may be, but Allah ta'ala has put the hatred of that into your hearts. So in other words, if we are claiming that we are Muslims and believers in Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, then this is the sign. If we begin to love Iman and Islam, and we hate sins, we hate that which is displeasing to Allah ta'ala, then we are true Muslims. Again, that hadith sharif last night which we discussed, but what does it matter if we have to discuss it again? If it just comes to mind again, that Rasulullah Paak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he was questioned by one sahabi, that Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what is iman? Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said, إِذَا سَرَّتْكَ حَسَنَتُكَ وَسَاءَتْكَ سَيِّئَاتُكَ فَأَنْتَ مُؤْمِنٌ. What is iman? It says, when your good deeds give you pleasure, give you happiness, give you joy and satisfaction, anything good that you do, namaz, roza, zakat, hajj, assistance to poor, needy, widows, orphans, fulfillment of the rights of parents, children, transacting your business in a halal manner, anything that a person does which can be categorized as a good deed, then that gives him pleasure, that gives him happiness, that gives him satisfaction. And when your evil deeds, your bad actions, your sins, your vices, when they give you displeasure, when they give you unhappiness, when they cause you pain, when they cause you injury, when they cause you grief and sorrow, that why did I commit this sin? Why did I indulge in this evil? When that happens, or the person stays away because he knows that it is totally sinful, That means any kind of sin that the person indulges in, it causes him great hurt and injury. Then he says, that is iman. So I mentioned last night that we should x-ray ourselves all the time in the light of this hadith when we make bold claims and loud claims that just because we made a few namazes and we made a little bit of zikr or we did a little bit of deen work and we were engaged in a little bit of talim, so therefore now we are perfect mu'mins. Then we must see ourselves in the light of this hadith of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, that do sins really cause us grief and hurt and injury and pain? When we are indulging in sins, does it really cause us hurt? The person who is watching the filth on the television screen at that time, is it giving him pleasure or is it causing him pain? The person who is going to the cinema, to the discos, to the theatres, or the person who is involved in an illicit love relationship, then this person, is he having pleasure in it or is it causing him great pain and suffering? That why am I as a Muslim indulging in this which is displeasing to my Allah? If it is giving him pleasure, then this person should check his iman, that what level that iman is at. Sins, if they give any person pleasure, then he must understand that there is something seriously wrong with his iman and there is a danger that it can even be snatched away. Ma na maasiyat mein mujrima na thodi lazzat hai, magar us palne wale se ye kaisi baghawat hai. Ma na maasiyat mein mujrima na thodi lazzat hai, magar us palne wale se ye kaisi baghawat hai. Zara si der ki lazzat hamesha ki nadamat hai. Zara si der ki lazzat hamesha ki nadamat hai. Janaza aabru ka dafn karna ye kaisi himaqat hai. Ye mana maasiyat mein mujrimana thodi si lazzat hai. There is a little bit of enjoyment, sinful pleasure the person gets a little bit if he has to commit adultery, fornication. There is a little bit of sinful pleasure in it. But what kind of rebellion is that against that Rabb who has created the person? Because he is going to use without fail, this person is definitely going to use those very bounties of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala for that disobedience that he is going to engage in. The person who is attached to tubes in the hospital bed, one in the hand and one in the neck and one in the legs, and he's got an oxygen mask, ask that person that at this moment do you want your illicit beloved or do you want cure from your illness? The person will say, to hell with that beloved of mine. Yes, if it's a wife, if it's a person that Allah Ta'ala has said you must love, it's a different story. Here I'm talking about illicit love. So you will say, to hell with that. Say, that picture to which you were addicted, do you want me to show you that film now? Or do you want Allah Ta'ala to give you cure? Then ask him, what does he want at that time? So when he's going to indulge in adultery, what is he going to use? That strength, that health, that which Allah Ta'ala has given him. When he's going to watch the filth on the television, on the internet porn sites, then what is he going to use? He's going to use that great gift of sight that Allah Ta'ala has given him. So ye mana maasiyat mein mujrimana thodi lazzat hai. You have a little bit of sinful pleasure when you indulge in sins, but what great rebellion is that against that creator of yours, that Khaliq, that Malik. And not that he is not seeing, he is seeing everything. And again, it's not like some superpower that has to send a military and snatch away your oil wells. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala with his hukam kun fa yakun, and it happens. If Allah ta'ala decides, then the person can die there and then whilst he's committing adultery. He can die there and then when he's indulging in that haram action and deed. Allah Ta'ala can tell the angel to extract his soul wherever he may be. So, janaza aabru ka dafn karna ye kaisi himaqat hai. Allah Ta'ala has given a mu'min and a Muslim kind of respect, dignity, honor. Now to destroy that for the sake of a little bit of sinful pleasure, what kind of stupidity that is. Allah Ta'ala has given the person respect and honor. And now he is caught. Why? What? Doing what? Committing fraud. He is caught stealing. He is caught gambling, or the person is caught committing adultery, or he is caught at the prostitute quarters, or watching some other filth, or the person dies in one of those haram places. So now what kind of stupidity is that? Allah Ta'ala gave the person respect and honor, another person is losing his life in a haram indulgence. So Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala's Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says that when your good deeds give you pleasure and happiness and satisfaction, they give you enjoyment. And when your evil and bad actions and deeds, they cause you pain, grief, sorrow, discomfort, they cause you a kind of harm, they don't give you any kind of joy and pleasure, then you are a mu'min. So each and every one of us, we have to check whenever there is this temptation to sin. I mentioned many times what I heard in my childhood days, for temptation will lead you into trouble and will make you cry. It has made many people cry in this world. Temptation led them into trouble and made them cry. I had one young person from the university, one day he came, he said, "Maulana, please make dua for me, please make dua for me." I said, "What dua must I make for you?" He says, "I got involved with a non-Muslim girl and she is pregnant and they are going to kill me." They said, "The parents have said, the father has said that he's going to put a gang on me and they're going to kill me. I can't sleep, I can't eat, I'm running from here to there, I can't even stay at my home. For temptation will lead you into trouble and will make you cry. Zara si der ki lazzat hamesha ki nadamat hai. A little while of pleasure and everlasting regret. Hi, why did I do this?" So don't we want peace, happiness, comfort? And once we are going to get that love for Iman in our hearts, and when Islam and Iman is going to seem beautiful to us in our hearts, then see how what enjoyment after that you get in everything. Even in pain and in sickness and in ill health and in poverty, and even if the person has got tattered clothes, he's got patched clothes, he's living in a hut, but Allah Ta'ala will give him sukoon in his heart. Such calm, such serenity, such sukoon, that the kings of the world don't know about it. And if the person is rich, he's got wealth, he's got health, and he's got everything, and he's got the pleasure of Allah Ta'ala, then in his wealth and health, Allah Ta'ala will give him that same sukoon. Time expires very fast on a Jummah day, so we will conclude here. There's so much of things that are now flooding my mind. May Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala give us the tawfiq of making amal. Wallah, the day we give up sins in our lives, just see what happens to our lives. But we must give up all sins. We can't say that, we don't say overnight we'll give up everything. And don't lose hope and trust in Allah Ta'ala, that we can't do it, I'm addicted. Last night, just last night after the majlis, when I went home, a brother phones and he says, "Maulana, after attending your programs, I had given up all my sins, or practically all sins, to the best of his knowledge. I was indulging in this and that and that. The only thing that was left was music." He said, "I was addicted to music. But I was not finding that peace and happiness." He says, "After the last night's program, I came home, I took all the tapes, I crushed them up, and I made dua that, Ya Allah, don't take me near it again." That's all it requires, a little bit of himmat and courage, and see what he will get now in his heart. May Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala give us the himmat and courage. We must become like lions against our nafs and shaitan. Nafs and shaitan want to lead us to the gutters, bring disgrace, humiliation, embarrassment and shame upon us. And not only upon us, but our families and upon the whole ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Because when those articles appear in the newspapers, then the whole world reads that this Muslim committed adultery, this Muslim committed fraud, this Muslim committed theft, this Muslim, he committed murder. So then that brings embarrassment and shame upon the whole ummah. May Allah Ta'ala give me first of all the tawfiq of amal, and every one of us. May Allah Ta'ala remove the difficulties, hardships and problems of the entire ummah throughout the world, especially in Palestine, Chechnya, Bosnia, Kashmir, Afghanistan, and all these places. Africa also, Allah Ta'ala must change the conditions of adversity to that of prosperity and happiness. وآخر دعوانا الحمد لله رب العالمين.